The set aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can experience your truth. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay, for those who haven't been here for a while, on Wednesday we finished steps 6 and 7. We covered Drop the Rock. I think we had about 6 or 7 podcasts. They're now all up on the site if you'd like to hear, and it was good stuff. I learned a lot, and it's there to listen and learn from. On Saturday morning, we are on to wives, and we read some powerful stuff last Saturday, so join us at 9:15. This Sunday night, if you can make it, the Chiefs don't play till 7:20. Get the hint. We're going to be covering step 3, start on step 3, page 60, which is powerful, powerful pages of information. Now that we finished step 6 and 7, we were getting ready to start step 8. And the first line is, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. So I was going to study the material, and then I said, you know, we haven't done a meeting on faith without works is dead. It's in the big book twice. I wrote 3 thoughts on it, which I guess none of you have read, but it's on the site. And so if you're listening to the podcast, you can get on the site, experiencethebigbook.org, and I have 77 thoughts. And we're just going to cover probably one of them tonight. And I read it, and I said, wow, I wrote this. I couldn't believe it. And it actually is I thought was really good. It gave me a lot of information. I wrote this March of 2018. And let's see what we can get out of this, because the verse is twice in the big book. It's here now because they're getting ready for you to do 8 and 9, and then 10 and 11, and then right before 12, on page 88, when it ends, the action steps, it says, faith without works is dead. And we're not going to look at it from a religious, scriptural, theological point of view. I'm just going to give you my thoughts as I saw them and studied. And I may see it even different now. I went over it and I made some notes, and I think you'll get something out of it. It says this powerful verse from the book of James. It's the book of James. It's referenced twice in the big book. Before looking at this verse in relation to the program of recovery, I wanted to give some history behind the study of the book of James in AA in its early days. Now, AA claims its foundation day is June 10th, 1935. That's the day of Dr. Bob's last drink. Remember, he had gone on a bender at the AMA convention, and he came home, and he had a couple days of drying out with Bill W. and his wife, Ann, and then he had to go operate on somebody's rear end, remember? And some people have tried to find out who gave their rear end for AA, but they haven't been able to. So AA was founded by what we call a shyster lawyer and a rear end doctor. Think about it. And so remember, Bill gave him a beer before he went in the OR, and then he did the surgery. And then he didn't come home for a long time, and they were worried that he started drinking again. And he went and made amends. And so we call June 10th the day of AA's founding. And it's really emotional when you think about it. And Bill met Bob in Akron in May of 1935. That's all described in A Vision for You in great detail, how Bill went to Akron to make money and do the deal, and it went through, and he had nothing. And he didn't know how he was going to pay his bill. And he was in the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel. And all of his plans for success and his self-centered dreams evaporated. And he thought the bar was a good place to go to get some music. Sound like a bad idea? And remember, as he crossed the threshold, he shivered and fear shook him. Right before he crossed the threshold, he said, well, maybe one drink. And then God took control and said, Bill, bad idea. He turned away. He went to find someone to call an alcoholic and eventually led him to Dr. Bob. We're here tonight. And so there are founders, and Bill lived in Dr. Bob's house those first few months. And they studied scripture every night and actually every morning. They had quiet time, and they would read a scripture, and then they would meditate on it, and then they would write down what God had revealed to them, and then they would share it. And they initially did this, the three of them, and as they got more people, they had quiet time together. And they studied the scripture, and in particular the book of James. And Lois Smith, I think it's Annie Smith, it's a mistake. You were supposed to read these ahead of time, so Stu's in trouble now. Annie Smith's favorite verse was 2:14. All right, Jimmy, calm down. And they put it in the big book before step 8 at the end of the chapter into actions, an introduction to working with others. And it's a reminder of, are you willing to go to any length? Are you willing to keep doing the work? Because if you don't do it, what's going to be the result? We're going to look at that. The Akron Group began in 1935, and it's described in A Vision for You how they found A number 3. And the first few years before the big book was written, the members were referred to as the James Club. That's what people called them. In fact, when they were considering titles for the big book, one of the titles considered was the James Club. Why was the book of James of such importance to the founders of AA? You know, we talk about, really, if we've seen a person fail, it's thoroughly followed our path, right? And so what was the path they followed before the big book? Well, they studied the Sermon on the Mount and 1 Corinthians, the book of James. They studied scripture. They read Oxford literature, you see, and they practiced their quiet time. And so why was it important? And I am no biblical scholar. I'm going to only share my thoughts. My understanding is James' purpose, the reason he wrote that, was to produce in believers what is called spiritual maturity. He wanted to obtain some maturity spiritually, to grow spiritually. Does it sound like something we want in our own recovery? Mm-hmm. Faith in God, the faith that they had in God, should result in behavior that is in harmony with God's will. So you're going to change your behavior to be in harmony with God, seeking God, centered on God. Do we have a step that says we continue to improve our conscious contact to God, seeking knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out? So you see why the book of James really made sense to them. And faith and behavior, key terms in the book of James, just as in age we teach that the result of our spiritual awakening produces a change in our attitudes and actions. And the change in my attitude is, what am I focusing on? And as a result of what I'm focusing on, what actions do I take? Am I focusing on what Michael wants or on God wants? Am I seeking to be spiritually mature? Am I seeking to be in harmony with God's will? The theme of the book of James has been identified by some as living by faith. And then if I live by faith, what are my actions as the result of faith? What do my actions look like? And do my actions change? And so this epistle was written so that Christians would live their faith, to advance from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. And I wrote, from self-centered to God-centered, and to seek to be obedient God. Isn't that the purpose of the 12 steps? We're going to read that on step 3 Sunday night. What is our problem? The root of our troubles is self-centeredness, selfishness. Root of our trouble. And then it says we must be rid of it. And what's the how and why of it? God's going to be my director. And then it says the third step promises that God will give me everything I need if I stay close to Him and do His work well, right? And then I will lose my fear of tomorrow and forever. So he was concerned about behavior and ethics as expression of belief. And we talk about, are we being loving and tolerant? Are we living love, patient, and kind? And remember, our belief in step 2 is, do we believe that there's a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity? Everybody believe that in this room? Good. But that belief, if not followed by the action of the steps, won't result in the change in our thinking or actions. I can believe that God can restore me to sanity, get in my car and worry about my day and who didn't do this right and that, you know, the whole deal. And so I wrote WBDAT. Well, you're saying, what the hell is that? Willingness, belief, decision, action, and trust. That's the deal. That's what we're trying to do in AA. And willingness to change, willingness is comes from my being defeated. Anybody willing when they come in here? And desperate. And then I believe I can change. I decide to change. And then I take the actions of 4 through 9 to change. And in step 10, I enter the world of the Spirit. And then I have trust. And I have faith. So we start in AA with belief, and we end up with trust and faith. And then I wrote, we're spiritually awakened. And when I'm spiritually awakened, it changes my focus and my behavior. Anybody agree with that? And so we go from self-centered to God-centered. We go from trying to watch for our character defects and let go of them, and how to be undisturbed. And remember, undisturbed is a spiritually mature place, because then you're with God. And so if you can get undisturbed and be with God, then you have true peace. James was not so much concerned with doctrine, but how to put faith into action, resulting in our growing closer to our Creator. Now, we talk about steps 4 and 5 a lot. Anybody ever heard of step 4 or 5? All right, no, Jimmy says no. But we have the fifth step promises, and it says on page 75, once we do this, we pocket our pride and go to it. When we've taken this step, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. These are the fifth step promises. We can be alone at perfect ease and peace. Our fears fall from us. And here it is. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. So the process of inventory in step 4 and confession to yourself, God, and another person, doing that step, changing the way you see all these people, you begin to feel the nearness of your Creator. You're starting to grow closer to your Creator. And then it says, the feeling that the drink promise disappeared will often come strongly. You may have had a spiritual belief, but now you're beginning to have a spiritual experience. And then it says, we feel we're in the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of universe. And then you go home and you thank God from the bottom of your heart that you know Him better. See, and that if you put your faith into action, you get closer to your Creator. And that's the beginning of it. And then you continue to improve it in 6 and 7, 8 and 9, and 10, 11 and 12. As a relation with God, how are your actions changed in your daily life? Ask yourself that. Have you changed? How do you live each day? And then I said, you know, we have the instructions on step 10, 11 on 84 to 88. And I said, doesn't that sound like the program of recovery? And this book deals with where we live, the book of James. And it says in AA, where do you get when you're in step 10? What world do you enter? World of the Spirit. You're with God in the real world, not separated. And so how do I get to the world of the Spirit? And how do I stay in the world of the Spirit? So my faith without works is dead, because I won't stay in the world of the Spirit. I'll be in Michael's world. And it says it has practical application for the individual, the book of James. And if you study this epistle, you will see how he suggests we apply the principles that we talk about in AA and all our affairs. Then people talk about the Sermon on the Mount in AA, and that was what Dr. Bob read at the first AA meeting, by the way, was of primary importance in the writing of our big book, and this epistle's teaching is rooted in the Sermon on the Mount. So James is kind of explaining the behavior. The Sermon on the Mount was a discourse on ethical behavior. The book of James was written to how we may practice the ethics discussed in the sermon. And there are 15 references in the book of James. And we have some experts here. We'll look and see how many references there are to the Sermon on the Mount in the big book, the book of James. There are quite a few. but they're subtle. They didn't quote scripture. They thought that they did a very good job of incorporating spiritual principles in the book without actually quoting a lot of scripture, but they did quote faith without belief is dead. Behavior of believers is discussed in the Sermon on the Mount. It's a practical demonstration of righteousness of the believers, right conduct, right relationship with God. Remember, it says if your relationship with Him is right, great things will come to pass. 164. Has that happened to anybody in this room? Yes, right? Sounds like, how does our behavior manifest itself? How does it look? And I wrote, sound like the program, it sounds like the purpose of the big book. Page 44 and 45 says that, you know, I couldn't, my moral and philosophical galores, philosophies would not work, remember? I didn't have the power to overcome my alcoholism. I didn't have the human resources marshaled by the will, and I had lack of power. Anybody else have that? Still have it on my own. And it says I had to find the power to live. It had to be a power greater than me, obviously. And where and how we find this power, and that's what the book is all about. You find a power that enables you to solve your problem. And the book of James is practical guidance for people reading that book on how they have this relationship with God and how they get a power to live. He comments on five behaviors in which we need to demonstrate righteousness. He said our behavior should be centered to obtain God's approval, not other people's. Does that sound like something we talk about all the time? We have to be dependent on God, not people. He tried to show through these, and that's how we build self-esteem. He tried to show through these five behaviors how we can obtain God's approval. In A, we build positive self-esteem by positive behavior, by taking right actions. He said God gives us trials so we can grow in personal maturity. In A, we talk about how God disciplines us. It says that several times in the big book. He disciplines us when we're separated from Him. We don't feel good. We get disturbed and we get up fearful and angry, and we take actions and have shame and guilt. And He disciplines us so I don't feel good when I'm away from Him. And it's in A, we talk about how God disciplines us when we separate from Him. We don't have peace till we turn back to Him. Getting back on the beam in step 10, right? We watch for selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. So when we get separated, we want to get back to God. And it says, he said we patiently accept our trials in the book of James as opportunities to get closer to God, to access His power to deal with our tribulations. Somebody talked about their meditation they read the other day. I think it was at the Monday meeting, and how it was focused on how when we, God disciplines us so when we're away from Him, we don't feel good, so we get back to Him. And isn't that what we teach, we talk about in steps 10, 11 all the time? And in AA, that's the essence of the steps. Page 100, it says, when I put myself in God's hands, things were better than anything I could have worked out. And it says, if I stay close to God, I will live in a new and wonderful world no matter what the circumstances. And that's true for me. And our solution now is God, not alcohol. And we achieve this solution by working the 12 steps at a continuous basis. And I wrote, we want conscious contact, not constant separation. And then I write, ask yourself this, do I live in harmony with God or disharmony with God? And isn't that, when we come in here, we were in complete disharmony with God. And I'm trying to learn to be in harmony with God. And then at step 11 at night, I inventory, was I in harmony or disharmony with God? And how do I get corrective measures? And then it says the second behavior he talks about is prejudice or prejudging. None of us do that, of course, but the agnostics talk several times how we must get long rid of prejudice. It's the one thing that's going to kill us. And prejudice is just prejudgment. And we have prejudgments which we impose on other individuals or groups or ideas. And does that sound like old ideas? He says in James that prejudgment is a major block to spiritual growth. And it's usually prejudgment on what I think I know, not what God, not how God sees it. And it's we call that dropping the rock, right? What do I have to drop all the time? In AA, we must let go of our old ideas, absolutely, or the result is nil. Now, do you think they really mean absolutely, or are they just trying to, you know, be funny? It's absolutely, because whatever old idea you're keeping on is going to block you. And in the book of James, it says, judgment blocks us from loving all people and thus blocks us from God. And we talk about that. I can't have love and hate at the same time. I can't be loving, hating someone and being in fellowship with God. And so, and then my judgment blocks me from God because I judge something I don't like, and then God's not in the picture. And he says we now trust in God and through our faith bring love and tolerance into our daily living. So I learned to trust God by working the steps. I know if I'm angry, I can go to God and ask him to remove my anger. If I'm afraid, I can ask him to remove my fear. If I get back to God, I can get undisturbed. I can say the serenity prayer, right? And I can do the spiritual axiom, if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. And then I can use the St. Francis prayer. He says, we now trust in God and through our faith bring love and tolerance into our daily living. Now on page 84, when we're in the world of the Spirit, what does it say my code of living must be? Love and tolerance. And it tells me I have to resolutely turn my thoughts away from myself to who? To others. Get out of self. James says we must live out our faith. We talk about that. How are we living? How are we living our days? The third behavior he discusses, use of our tongue. None of us have a problem with that, do we? Spiritual wisdom is a prerequisite for proper use of the tongue. He talks about in AA, we seek to pause and not react. We don't send six-page letters on White House letterhead, do we? Nobody laughed. All right. In AA, we seek to pause and not react when agitated or doubtful. And it says we have to practice self-restraint, especially of the pen. Now, the big book was written before texting. So we have to restrain ourselves from texting and responding in emails. And I think texting has really made it worse for us because we don't have to emotionally face another person. We could just respond with some sarcastic remark. But we wanna if we use the tongue wrongly, then we harm relationships, don't we? And we hurt ourselves. And I really have to restrain myself from who? From me. And I have to live on a different basis, relying and trusting on God. And I wrote, he says we must live out our faith. He doesn't say we can talk about it at meetings, which may be good, or that we can think it out. We have to do it through action. And don't we talk about practice what you preach? We have to put it into practice. The fourth behavior is our relationships with other people. How do we get along with others? Now on page 60, it says a life run on self-will is never successful. Anybody agree with that? What does it say? We're in conflict with everybody and everything. Anybody like that? And you can still be that way. You can be that today. But it says on page 84, if you're in the world of the Spirit, that we're no longer in conflict with everybody and everything. Why? Because we're with God now. We're seeing things differently and we can stop. So you can ask yourself, how are you getting along with others? And how do you get along with your inner self, with your conscience? Do you have shame and guilt? In AA, we talk about the need to stop fighting everything or everyone. Isn't that how it ends on working with others? It ends the instructions. It says alcohol was just the bottles were just a symptom. Problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. We have to stop fighting anything or everything. We have to, right? We can't be in conflict and be at peace. And if we're in conflict, we're at risk of drinking. In AA, our inner and outer turmoil is manifest in anger, fear, shame, and guilt, and negative behavior. And the goal in the book of James is to have peace with ourselves and the world. And isn't that when you lose fear of people, isn't that one of the promises? Because you're not afraid of people, and you're at peace with yourself and with the world and with God. And that's what the steps are trying to do. And it starts with peace with God in the now. And that's the essence of the ninth step promises, which I'm not going to read them all, but we will know peace, right? We will know serenity. Feeling of uselessness will disappear. We intuitively know how to handle situations. Well, I guess I'm starting to say them all. And God is slowly doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And James' method of achieving this peace is submission of our will to God, aligning my will to God's will. How true for me. And I could see how the founders incorporated that spiritual message into the big book. Now, where do you get your will back in AA? Does anybody remember what page? You get your will back on page 85. So in 85, it says, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest in our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We're not cured. We have a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of a fit spiritual condition. And it says, every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Do you think they mean must? I must carry this vision. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Now, if I carry this vision, which to me is love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate, compassion, if I carry that throughout the day, then I'm going to react differently than if I'm back in the Michael and judging and intolerant and inconsiderate. So what's the vision that you're carrying? And then here's the deal. These thoughts of the vision must go with me constantly. And if I have my thoughts constantly on God, it says, then I can exercise my willpower all I wish. The proper use of the will in AA is when it's aligned with God's will. When I use my will and it's not aligned with God's will, what happens? Things don't go well. Get angry, fearful, piss people off. Way to go, Michael. And so this is really very consistent. You see how the book of James is so consistent with how the big book and the goals of the big book. It says, does it sound like knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that? Remember, it says we should only pray for that. We're not to ask for ourselves, except as others be helped, right? We don't know what's best for us, so we have to be careful. It says, using our gifts for love and service. Remember, our primary purpose is to fit ourselves maximally to be of service to God and others. Not making things or possessions our higher power. Why is that a bad idea? Because then I block God out by worshiping of other things or situations. And I have to be good stewards of the gifts he gives me. Are we being of service? Are we using the talents we have to serve God and others? At work, at home, in relationships, in AA. And the life of faith he talks about is marked by trials, which I call situations. How do I handle them? To be righteous in my behavior is the goal. Do I change the way I see things? Isn't that acceptance of things as they are is the answer to my problems? And then I can decide what I need to change or accept with God's will and wisdom. And then I wrote, to be righteous in my behavior, I must overcome the obstacles in my way. And what are the obstacles? I wrote, my obstacles are my selfishness, my character defects, my way, what I think, my rock, the things that I worship, the things that I think are important, whatever I'm bringing into the situation that's not God. Remember in steps 4 and 5, we face and be rid of the things blocking me. In the chapter, it says the fundamental idea of God is inside all of us. Everybody agree with that? Well, I blocked them out by calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. Anybody else do that? And guess what? You can do it today. You can be God-centered at 9, and 9:30, you're blocking them out. And so the whole program is how, when I'm blocking them out, how do I unblock? How do I let go so God can remove it? And how do I know when I'm blocking God? I don't feel good. I'm disturbed. I'm anxious. I'm irritable. I'm restless. And it says, do I use speech and actions to serve myself rather than God? What are my motives? The world say, defend your rights, says rely on self to get what I think I need. That killed me. That I should rest satisfaction, happiness, life by managing well. I don't want to be happy anymore. I want to have inner joy from being obedient to God. That's my goal. That's my new thing. Inner joy And then happiness is depending on it, on how I view something. I just want to feel joy and peace. And that's all I really wanted when I came to AA. I just wanted a little bit of peace. And this reliance on self rather than God leads me to fear, anger, shame, and guilt and harm to myself and others. Anybody agree with that? And then it says, my problems are my own baking. I must live on a spiritual basis or else. And then it says, if I have fear and I'm relying on self, I have to live a different way. And I wrote that of relying and trusting in God, page 68. So when I have trials, I can use the spiritual exercise of the 12 steps to gain knowledge of God's will in every situation. It will work every time, won't it? And His power to carry it out. And if I do that, then I believe that leads to a righteous living. And I believe it's what the book of James is all about, the big book. So I don't know if, was this helpful? And so, do you want to do part next thought next week? Or 2 weeks?
Yeah.
All right, somebody said yes. All right. Thank you, guys.